if you're coming out of school and you're kind of like, oh, I'm going to go straight from school to doing freelance, you know, and I should, you know, my work's good. I should be able to get a bunch of clients, da, da, da. I wouldn't suggest it. You know, to me, you need to get a job in the industry, make some contacts, you know, get some experience, and then maybe see if you want to do the freelance deal, you know, because just to jump off straight out of school and think you're going to make a killing in the freelance industry is tough.
Perspective Podcast is fuel for your mind and creative grind. Each week, my guests and I provide the skills for thinking bigger, overcoming adversity, and making an impact with your work. What's going on? You're listening to episode 155 of the Perspective Podcast. My name is Scotty Russell of Perspective Collective, and I'm here to break down the art of healthy hustling for artists, designers, and freelancers worldwide. At the end of each episode, I plug a listener of the week, so stick around to figure out how you can get a permanent shout out on a future episode. Real quick, who's all going to Crop Conference in a few months? I know I am, because the podcast is sponsoring again. And you know, I'm going to be back on the stage after taking last year off, 2019. I didn't do any speaking. And this year I have a new talk in the works that I know is going to empower all you side hustlers and freelancers out there. And you could definitely expect some pretty cheesy dad jokes and some pizza puns. But Crop takes place in its new home of Austin, Texas this year, April 16th through the 18th. And I have a special little promo code for you. You can use promo code PERSPECTIVE, P-R-S-P-C-T-V, no vowels, just like my Instagram handle, and use that promo code, and it's going to save you $25 off your registration that you can then put towards your flight, your hotel, your Airbnb, or the dope merch that's going to be there. Every event, Matt and Ariana Dawson, Stay Gray Pony Boy and Stay Gray Pony Girl on Instagram, everything they host sells out, and this will 100% sell out too, as it's their 5-year anniversary, so do not delay on registering, especially when the lineup is full of heavy hitters like Draplin, Hoodspa, Good Type, Robzilla, Hellcats, Aviator Nation, myself, and more. So visit cropcons.com or check out the link in the show notes to register for the conference, and again, use PRSPCTV to save $25. Again, this will sell out, so jump on it now and get your hotel, Airbnb accommodations figured out ASAP. All right, I got another question, but this is related to the topic today. So what type of person are you? Are you, number one, the type of person who just shows up at your day job to get the work done so you can clock out, race home, and binge some Netflix or watch hours of cat videos and people falling down on YouTube? Or are you like type two, this kind of person, the type of person who can't turn off the love for creating, so you work on things you love outside of work, aka a side hustle, and then leverage those skills to both your day job and your personal work? Because you're listening to this podcast, it's safe for me to assume that you're the second type of individual, or you're at least striving to become that type of person. And I never was truly number one. I was never person number one, as I always craved to do something more outside of my previous day jobs, but I never fully took myself seriously until I was like 26 years old and about a year into doing Perspective Collective. However, designing, drawing, and just creating in general has been flowing through my veins my entire life. Ever since I can remember, looking back and connecting the dots, I've just always drawn. And person number two is the type of person who just can't shut it off. You see good in the world as a designer and artist, you know, and all, as well as all the bad things, okay? You can't help but see the good and the bad everywhere you are 24/7. Again, you're the type of person who is drawing something in your mind as you sleep, or you're trying to put something together and visualize it, and then you can't wake up to bring it to life. Or you keep a notepad by your bed to collect those killer reoccurring thoughts, or maybe you have a waterproof notepad in your shower because those are where the best ideas come from. You know, and I got some. If you want what I want, just hit me up. I'll shoot you a link. You're the kind of person who doesn't eat at restaurants because the logo is horrible. You won't watch a DVD strictly because the font choice is whack. You point out poor kerning to your significant other and friends, even if they could care less when you point it out in public. Or you get out your phone to capture that dope neon sign, that fading mural, or that sick badge concept on that manhole cover up the street. You live for this shit. And that's how I know that you're made to be a creative. And now it's time to put in the work. And today's guest is a squad of goons who can't turn it off, and they were clearly made for this creating game. In fact, they're just cut from a different cloth, because the work they do at the rapid pace they do for the clients that they work with isn't normal for creators like you and me. I'm talking about my homies over at Lincoln Design Co. out of the great Pacific Northwest. Their chief and commander, Dan Jansen, has assembled a cast of five insanely talented creatives as they slay work for the biggest brands in the world like Mattel, Hasbro, Disney, DreamWorks, Nike, Nickelodeon, Google, Hot Wheels, yada yada. You get the point. But they're not too proud to crush it for a local mom and pop shop or for creatives like you and me who need that next level personalized touch. And I was lucky to link up with Lincoln early on as they started making big waves in the creative community, and I'm honored to bring them back on for round two today to catch you up with the insane growth and power moves they've been making and shaking with since 2017. And we have a unique one as we got a chance to record during their 2019 end of the year retreat. Each member of the crew was in the middle of working all throughout the Airbnb they were at, but we managed to get a little screen time for each of them. And I want to see your notes on this one as Dan and company go deep on topics like the power of leveraging your side hustle, why you should be a Swiss Army knife versus a one-trick pony, the magic of personal branding and hiring yourself, why sacrifices are needed to become great at what you do, and we also talk about logos, merch, creating your own fonts, their day-to-day process, pizza, and more. It's admittedly very easy to fall victim to comparison when you see their dope work that they kick out on a consistent basis, but I want you to use this episode as like a heavy dose of creative fuel to be the best version of yourself in 2020 and take your work to the next level in this new decade. Before we get started, today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Retro Supply. They are the leading provider of Illustrator, Photoshop, Procreate, and Affinity Design resources to make your work stand out in a fraction of the time. So take advantage of 20% off with my never-expiring promo code, Scotty20, that's Scotty with the Y20, through the special links in the show notes or IG bio. Thank you, Retro Supply. And again, you can find the sponsor link, crop conference link, as well as a YouTube video of this conversation over at perspective-collective.com/155. And do me a favor. If you found value in this episode, please help me spread the good word, sharing a screenshot or a video of you listening or working to this in the background. Make sure to tag me at perspective_collective or perspective podcast, as well as Lincoln Design, so we can connect and I can reshare the love back. As always, keep an open mind and act on anything that inspires you today. Let's go. PC family, today I'm chopping up with round two of my familia, Lincoln Design Co. I'm sitting here with Dan. We got everyone else in the background hustling and working behind the scenes. So Dan, what's going on? Welcome back to the Perspective Podcast. What's new with you guys?
Hey, it's great to be back. Thanks, Scotty. A lot, I guess. We're not at the studio. We're down at the beach in Newport, Oregon, doing the fourth annual creative retreat. So kind of a good time that you kind of get to talk to us while we're all together in one room, kind of doing it for a week. So yeah, it's good.
Yeah, you guys been hustling too. You just got done with DesignerCon and Creative Works before that. Like,
yeah, it's been a crazy 2 months, the last 2 months, kind of ending the year off with a bunch of stuff. Yeah, Creative Works was good, and then DesignerCon, and then right down to the beach and the retreat. So it's been busy.
So as we rewind back to episode 41, shit, dude, that was like two years ago, something like that. We're on 155 right now. Like, catch us all up from what's happened since there. That's like when I met you guys at Crop, and things kind of have consistently taken off. I know you were still relatively new with Lincoln Design, maybe a year into it.
Yeah. So, oh man. I mean, the crew,
it's been a minute.
Yeah. It's been a while. Yeah. That's why when we hooked up last time, I was like, dude, we got to do another one. Yeah, it's been over 2 years, but yeah, kind of just doing the same thing in a way. Same guy, same crew. We have kind of got a little bit more into animation. We had a guy, intern Frankie, that did a bunch of animation work for us, and then he ended up working for another studio, and he still helps us out with some animation projects on the side. And then we have Damaso doing some of the Morph style animation. So I think last time we talked, we weren't really doing much in the animation, you know, world, but that's something we've been taking on and hoping to push a little bit more. Those are super fun projects, and you know, we do stuff for Santa Cruz and Creature and stuff like that. So definitely want to keep that going. And then we've moved offices like probably twice since you've talked to us. Mm-hmm. What else? And then just kind of doing the, you know, Creative Works, Crop, some of that stuff every year. And then I think since we talked 2, we released a portfolio book, which is now sold out, and then just did this Logo Mayhem book. So just continuing to make product and do the client work as well.
Yeah. And in a little bit, I want to talk about how do you guys make time to do work for yourself? Because I feel like someone like me, that's hard to do. There's enough shit on my plate already. For those, though, who live under a rock and have no idea who Lincoln Design Co. is yet, what do you guys do and who do you do it for?
So we're a design and branding studio in the Portland, Vancouver area. And we do a lot of basically logo, branding, illustration, package design, style guides, brand books, stuff like that for a bunch of different companies, whether it's kind of the skateboard industry, which is where we got our start, as well as a lot of stuff in the toy entertainment industry, working with some new beverage companies with Monster Energy, some stuff for Mountain Dew Tour, stuff like that. So it's kind of a wide range of clients and projects, but a lot of it is based around branding, logo design, development, and then illustration as well. So there's 6 of us, basically a 6-man crew, plus my wife that does the books. So we kind of have 7 employees, and everyone has their role and what they're good at. And we kind of divvy up projects based on who's working on it and what that project is.
Nice. Well, So I do see some smaller things like that. Do you guys work with some like mom and pop kind of things, Instagram pages I saw too? Like, what's the ratio? Is it probably like 80% big names and 10 to 20% kind of these smaller places?
I would say it's like either 60-40 or 70-30 as far as like bigger brands, and then 30% kind of small logo projects for a startup company, mom and pop coffee shop or something like that. A lot of it is kind of bigger projects or brands, but we still continually have logo projects all the time for like a startup company or a mom and pop shop. Like, we'll never get away from that. I feel like that's, and some of that stuff is some of the funner projects,
In terms of like creative freedom kind of thing.
Yeah. When you have a company that's starting out, and you're responsible for the branding for that new restaurant or that new, company, it's always fun to kind of dig in on the ground level, where a lot of the bigger brands, they're obviously established and we're just adding to their, marketing in a way. So yeah, we'll always do the smaller projects and stuff like that. That stuff's always good.
So being that this show, the identity since we've last talked, like it's totally evolved kind of to be kind of what I am, side hustler. Well, by the time this comes out, I'll be making the leap full time, which is pretty dope. So again, it's been a long time for me in 2020 or since we last recorded. So fun stuff. But being that it's for side hustlers and freelancers who are grinding outside their day jobs, trying to build something for themselves, it's crazy that your team is also full of side hustlers who not only work on dream jobs for dream clients, but they also have their own outlets they pursue on the side.
Yep. Yes, they do. Yeah. And that's one of those things where, I feel like, everyone in the creative profession, almost always has something going on the side, because you work for a company, whether it's like even like Nike or Adidas or something like that, doesn't mean that the job you're doing all day long is something that you're super stoked on, So a lot of guys, have that side hustle where they're going to go home and they're going to build fonts for themselves or patches or whatever. And I encourage that because I feel like that's kind of your creative outlet, in the evening or at night. And then you come back to work and you're back on, that same project or whatever. But yeah, these guys have their own deal on the side, which they do. And then full time for the studio.
When's the last time you had something on the side?
No. Yeah, years. Yep. It's been 15 years or something. if I have time on the side, I'm putting it into something for Lincoln. So yeah.
So like how many of those things, like building fonts, everything, like Dustin and Kern Club and Patches and Jordan and Damaso doing side sketches, like all that shit that they learn outside of it, does it kind of flow back into Lincoln as well?
For sure. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, when Jordan and Dustin started doing fonts, for themselves, then I was like, oh shit, okay, let's start building a couple for the studio as well. So definitely that stuff kind of goes back and forth and kind of, full circle in a way. So yeah, that was, you know, we got into fonts because Jordan and Dustin kind of got into it and then, you know, knew how to build them and stuff like that. So.
And does anybody ever get burnt out? I know that people are working in the background, but like burnt out doing their own thing on top of it.
Yeah. I don't know. You guys get burned out
of doing their side hustle.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure there's days these guys, you know, take a break and whatever. Dustin can tell you.
Yeah, it's just the fun stuff, you know. If you're doing your work at, you know, during the day, it's just it's like fun to come home and crank on your own stuff. So
all those fonts you do outside of it, you don't get burnt out because you're just like in your computer programs all day? Because a lot of people tell me they get burnt out and they don't have motivation, energy, and time to grind outside their day job. I don't have that problem, but I didn't know if you live in staring at a screen all day. Like I switch it up with analog at times, but. You know, you're working in Adobe Illustrator and then you're over here, whatever your font program is, pairing those kerns.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's fun. You know, it's easy. I have some buddies that do real manual labor jobs. So I just think about these guys digging holes and doing stuff that physically makes them like not able to keep working. So it's fun. It's easy. Just get a good song going when you get home and put some music on and yeah, crank it up. I mean, it's just fun. You know, I've never even really worked.
Perfect. And that's eventually what I want to get to is this work is play for you because that hits home. I got some people down the street right now doing construction outside in fucking 10 degree weather. And I'm in here getting to chat over the internet to homies in Oregon. So I get it. Like when you treat your work like play. So this is play for every one of you guys, right?
Exactly.
But yeah, you do burn out. You do burn out for sure. Like I do, you know, so that's when I just switch up the medium. You know, I'll go back to pencils or I'll do some painting. Or I'll do some, you know, just switch up the medium, just, you know, kind of hit the refresh button. And yeah, that usually holds me up a good week or two, you know.
I think that's a good takeaway right there. Pivot and find a different outlet or switch up the medium. So when you're getting burnout doing that frame by frame animation, huh?
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, no, I need a little break every once in a while for sure. A little breather. Yeah. Got to hit that reset button and do some painting or something for sure.
For me, sacrificing, that's been huge to get the results I want, to get to where I want to be, to finally make this full-time shift me, which feels like I've been doing this 5.5 years now. You know, it's all sacrifices to get to where I want to be. You got to do things you've never done to get the results you've never had. So for you guys, for all you guys, I know there's a lot of sacrifice as well, especially the side hustle on the outside. Like, what are some of the biggest sacrifices you guys have to make on the daily to get the results you want, to keep getting those clients, to keep people pounding down the door to work with you guys? Because what time you get in? I know you make sure you get in early. You're like Kobe getting in the gym to shoot 100 shots before the next person gets in there and an hour later.
Yeah. I try and show up early every day, you know, kind of go through those emails and get the day started. You know, not always first one in, last one out, but for the most part, I try and, you know, I put in the hours for sure to make sure everything's running. You know, it's definitely, you know, it's one of those things where I always tell people too, it's like, it shouldn't feel like a full-time job to you. You know, it should be, I mean, any designer, if you're working 8 hours a day, then you're not putting in enough work. Like you should be going home, you know, you can't stop thinking about it, can't stop thinking about that logo, what you can do better tomorrow to, you know, to make that thing final. You know, we had interns in the past and it was very obvious that like, oh, this is just a job. Like I want to go collect that paycheck, work 8 hours a day. And when I leave, you know, I don't think about this shit again. And to me, it's like, if that's how it is for you in design, then it's not a good career for you. Cause for the most part, it's almost a, you know, 24 hour thing. You're just looking at, you know, designs and the world in a different way and bringing that into your workflow. So, yeah, I mean, for me, it's always just hours and putting in the time.
How often do you get a chance to go socialize in real life? I mean, like, I know sometimes it's hard to even like be around family because you guys are traveling and everything like that, you know?
Yeah, it's tough. And that, you know, that's always the juggle. Like, you don't want your work to be your whole life, you know? I have 3 kids at home, so there's, you know, I try and spend as much time and juggle that, you know, and get time with the family and do things outside of work. But yeah, when you start doing these conferences and stuff like that in the last like 2 months, that's tough because we've just been, you know, going from Greater Works to Designer Con and then driving the trailer back and coming out here to the beach and the whole deal. So Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, you got to love it.
So when you do love it, like, I can't shut my brain off. And that's awesome that you say that too. That means like, oh fuck, okay, yes, I was born for this shit. And I think that's how you know you're born for it. So do you have to force yourself to take breaks? Because I have to, like, every seventh week right now, I have to take a week off from the podcast, even though I feel like I'm letting someone down or I'm not going to reach my goals of reaching a top 10 podcast by the end of 2020 in the arts design category. You know, I have to force myself to take breaks. Like, do you have to do that? I feel like you guys don't ever stop from the outside looking in.
From the outside, it probably looks like that. Yeah. Yeah. But no, definitely, you know, definitely have to sit back and go, shit, you know, I need to take a day off or take a pause on this stuff. And, you know, it'll get done eventually type of thing, you know, but don't let that stuff linger on too long. I mean, I have a list of things that I could want to do and could be doing and, you know, updating the website and all this shit that just, you know, at times it just drags on and drags on. But you can't be doing, you know, if you're working on it 24 hours a day, you're going to get burnt out, you know?
So you're like me, the gym is sanctuary. Do you have like a squat rack at the office now or anything in the new office? Like, when do you get that release, man? And still look around, walk around looking like Brian Urlacher.
Shit. No, but Dustin always mentioned we need a heavy bag down in the basement, which would be a good idea, you know? Put some client names on there, and when you get pissed down there. And
anybody that you can name right here, let's start some drama. Let's get some beef going.
When you get round 10 of changes on a project, like
hit you with some changes and go down there and let it out.
Yep. So, yeah, these guys play Street Fighter. That gets their aggression out.
I know you got a half pipe in your place too.
We did. The new studio does not. It didn't fit in the basement, so. We moved, and the new one, the ceilings are too low for the mini ramp. So the mini ramp's kind of up for sale. I need to find, Frankie needs to take that thing or somebody. Yeah. But yeah, no weights or nothing like that. Just a heavy bag at some point.
How do you make time for that anyway? When do you even get a chance to do that? I mean, a lot of people aren't creatively fit in the first place.
Right. Yeah.
When do you make time?
I try and hit it on the way, if I can, on the way home from work, or my ideal situation is to go in the morning on the way in. But I, like you were saying, I like to be the first one in. So it always kind of bugs me if I do go and then I'm not the first one to get there. Like, I feel like I started the day off, I lost 2 hours or some shit. So it's a struggle for sure, you know?
What time do you guys get in? Because you're Pacific time. So I'm assuming most of your clientele, if they're not in Pacific time, are like way ahead of you.
Yeah, they are. A lot of them are East Coast, you know. I try and get in at 6:30 or 7. So ideally 6:30 and then start the day. But yeah, like Hasbro and some of those clients and Nickelodeon, they're all on the East Coast. So they're already cranking it at lunch, you know, by the time I get in. So.
And talking about sacrifices, one of the things that I know you do, you don't get a lot of design time these days. Yours is the shit behind the scenes. And something that I love that you guys do that kind of blew me away, because I've never really had that before. Any job I've been at, I've been my own project manager, my own consulting with brand business units. You handle all that shit up front, and then everybody else gets FaceTime with the programs. Like, describe the benefit of that. I mean, that's the sacrifice right there to get what you want, to take the team to where you want to be. You know, that's one of the things I'm looking for. But, you know, why is that so important to, I guess, shield them from that stuff so they can do what they do best?
Yeah, I mean, their time is better spent, you know, working on the projects and doing the design work. I take on the load of the project management and, you know, kind of doing that day-to-day stuff. I would love to, I mean, I would say I get 20, maybe 30% of my time where I can actually work on something, you know, spend it designing something, whether it's a logo or like putting the logo mayhem book together, stuff like that. I would love to have more time for that stuff, but at the same time, if I do have a ton of time for that, that means like new projects aren't coming in, you know. I'm the one going out there and trying to get those new projects and keep the clients happy. So I mean, it works out well. These guys kill it on the back end with doing the design work, you know, and it kind of keeps me focused on keeping the clientele going. I mean, my wife does the books, so fortunately I don't have to deal with that side of it and the accounting, you know, she handles that. So if I had to do that, if I had to invoice and do the accounting and all that, there would be no time to do a book or a new patch or update the web store, shoot photos for Instagram, like I'd be totally done. But she helps out with that stuff. So that's a big help.
What's her name?
Carrie.
Carrie. All right. Shout out to Carrie right now. Giving Carrie a shout out on the podcast.
Nice. Yeah. She actually came down for the four last night. She's leaving today, but we're going to have a company meeting after this. So she came down to the retreat for the first time to hang out with the boys. So yeah, that's good.
I respect that. I wouldn't be able to do the shit I do without wifey in my corner cheering me on and helping me out with so many things. So yeah, she's good at everything I suck at, like Excel's, accounting, everything. So I'm trying to like bring her over onto the squad full time, you know, eventually.
Yeah, definitely. It helps.
So being that you guys are the powerhouses, working with the big names, crushing the big projects for the big brands, I know you're working under insane deadlines. I think when we recorded last, you had to like, as soon as you got off, you guys had to flip some kind of Transformers-based stuff, you know, like ASAP, quick. You know, how does it feel? Do you guys feel like you have to come up to the plate and hit a home run every time? Like you always have to redo your last one, beat your last hit?
Kind of, yeah.
How do you handle the pressure of that?
Yeah, it can be tough. And then, you know, they're always referring back to like what was posted on Instagram or whatever. And you definitely get projects where it's like, well, you know, this looks good, but we were hoping for this and we don't feel like it looks as good as these projects. And, you know, every project's different. They're not all going to look the same, but I mean, we definitely put in 100% effort on every single one, you know, and try and deliver exactly what that brief is. But yeah, it's tough to constantly be like, oh, we need the most amazing logo or, you know, packaging or whatever.
Then how do they handle it too? Like, how do you create this environment where you enable them to thrive under pressure? You know, one, it seems like everybody's work is fun.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I try and give them enough time, you know, hopefully on every project where even though, I mean, we do a lot of stuff that's like a logo in a day type stuff, which that shit is pretty rough, you know, to turn around
is that a norm? Is that for like a bigger brand with an insane contract turnaround time? Or
I would say it isn't the total norm, but it's definitely not unheard of, you know, like we get that shit a lot. I mean, even here at the creative retreat at this house that we're staying at, I was hoping for a little less work and quick deadlines, but we have a beer company that's like asking for sketches to be turned around by noon tomorrow. And it's like, fuck, like, you know, the hope was to get out and kind of explore the beach and hang out and stuff like that. But we're kind of putting in a little more work time this trip. So it's just one of those things where you got to manage the time, you know, and I try and manage that expectation with the client. And then give these guys enough time to develop a good design.
Come back to the sacrifices again, man. It's just buckets of them over there. So like, how do you find time to create for yourself? Because I think Lincoln stands out amongst the noise because you break the rules of, hey, you need this set logo identity system for brand awareness. But no, you guys are like, fuck that. We got like 50 logos right now. And then we animate all of our stuff. Like, why is it important to make time to do stuff that, to create for yourself, to flex your own expertise within your own brand, while everybody else kind of just has that one facing logo, maybe a responsive identity kit, and that's that.
Right, right. I mean, honestly, when we moved the studio from San Diego up to Portland, we got up there, you know, Dustin and I kind of moved it up there, and then Davey and Jordan came on, and it was kind of like, well, shit, nobody knows the name Lincoln. I had owned a studio before for 11 years, but we changed the name. So it was kind of like this push to like, okay, we need to get the name out there. We need to create some logos, some badges, and just start pushing that name. And so we did that, and clients like reacted really well to it. We kept getting these briefs that had our poster art on there, had like all of our logos and badges. And I was like, oh shit, okay. You know, people are obviously digging this. The fact that, you know, like Nike's coming to us and half of their brief and their references in the brief is our work and our logos. So we just kind of kept pushing on that. It was like, we can't stop now. And so it's something I put on my plate as far as like how much time is going to get spent on, you know, doing an animation. You know, if Damaso's doing an animation, like how are we going to fit that into the schedule? But it definitely pays off, you know, for sure. Like the clients notice it and we get work based on it. Like even the whole animation, us getting into animation, most of that was because, you know, Damaso did that first kind of morph animation with our logos. And from there, it was like, we had some clients notice. It was like, oh shit, you know, hey, can you guys do this for our company? And so we just kept developing those and then getting that work, you know, so like they say, you know, you get what you show, you know?
I think that's a huge, huge, huge takeaway, especially for the listeners, the side hustlers, the freelancers, whatever. In a sense, you said you hire yourself and now you're getting the work you hired yourself for.
Yep, exactly. You know, and you got to fit those projects in as if it was a client, you know. I mean, Damaso will be slammed with a bunch of projects and it's like, okay, spend the next day or 2 days on the Lincoln animation, you know, and then I'll know, okay, shit, he's busy with that. You know, then that next project that he can take on can't start until Monday. So it's definitely something that has to be, you know, put into the schedule and give the guys time to work on that stuff and develop it. It's not like done at night or on the side, really. Well, you know, most of that stuff is done during the day, during the hours of work, you know? I mean, some of the stuff that I do, like with putting the book together and stuff like that, like I'll work some extra hours to get that done and put a deadline, you know, on like, say the book, like, hey, by, you know, we're going to the designer con, so I wanted the Logo Mayhem book done for that. So, you know, at that point, that's on my plate. I have a deadline.
Have you downloaded your free Side Hustlers War Chest yet at sidehustlerswarchest.com? This is your all-in-one toolkit for growing your side hustle and freelance game outside your day job. This contains 6 resources packed with everything I've learned building my side business of Perspective Collective since 2014. That's like 5.5 years as I'm recording this. So if you want to get into murals or take your skills to the next level, well, this Murals 101 guide has you covered. Are you struggling to create time to grind outside your day job? Well, you'll love this guide on 6 tips for executing outside your 9-to-5, or even if it's 7-to-4, it doesn't matter. Struggling growing an audience or building your personal brand? There's a guide on this too, breaking down my top tips. There's also a book recommendation list, analog drawing essentials, as well as a guide for all your iPad Pro and Procreate needs to master your digital drawing game. Sign up now and receive every free update and upgrade that's coming your way in the Side Hustlers War Chest in early 2020. Some of my heavy hitter juggernaut friends from the podcast are going to be adding some serious firepower to this, and you do not want to miss out. Again, snag these free resources at sidehustlerswarchest.com and share your download on Instagram stories so I can share the love back. I want to talk about the Logo Mayhem book here in a second, but since the setup of like people not around on mics and stuff like what we originally were thinking, I want to dive in, not really dive in, just give a quick little overview of the team setup dynamics so people can kind of understand, okay, we plugged Damaso with, you know, he's the animation expert in those high-end illustrations, but like, can you describe the dynamic of all the other people on the squad? And then I'll link them up in the show notes too, so everybody gets some love.
Yeah, for sure. So Brandon,
it's been a minute, man. How you been?
Good. How are you?
Good, good, good. Yeah. So let's get the overview on you.
Illustration. You know, kind of just hardcore classic detailed illustration. Yeah. I basically just draw shit.
And you're San Diego, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I live in San Diego. I was there for a while. Went to the Art Institute out there. And yeah, it's my home.
Well, went to the Art Institute with a degree in animation.
Yeah. I went for the animation, not really to be an animator, just it had a drawing in the curriculum than the graphic design. So, yeah.
And you're not on like social media, right? Brandon's the one you're telling everybody they have to Google, right?
Yeah. I'm not into the social media thing.
Right, well, then I can't link you up properly, man.
You got to Google Brandon Hart.
All right. I'm literally going to type in the Google search results and I'll plug the search results into the show notes.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah. There you go.
You'll get a ton of gig posters and skateboard graphics.
Yeah, just gig posters and
stuff. Yeah. Brandon was the first one we hired back. Fuck, how long ago was it now? 10?
I think we got some around 14, 13 years.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
From your last business before Lincoln?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I hired him straight from college, and then, yeah, he's been with me ever since, so. He's the one responsible for a lot of skateboard graphics in the beginning, like the Tony Hawk boards and shit like that. Damaso does a lot of them now as well, Davey, but Brandon was like heavy Dark Star, Tony Hawk.
Zero.
Yeah, Zero, yeah.
Zero skateboards just slamming us.
Set the tone.
Yeah, Zero Mystery and stuff like that. It did set the tone. You know, we ended up getting a lot of jobs in different industries based on the skateboard graphic work that we did in the very beginning. You know, we had a lot of companies coming to us going, hey, we want to grab that audience and those kids and basically put that kind of style, that illustration on packaging for a toy or some entertainment property. So a lot of that work came from a skateboard background and all that stuff. And Brandon was responsible for most of that illustration. So, yeah.
Word.
Yep. So check it out. Check them out.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for swinging by, man. Good to see you again. I'll carry you over my shoulder next time. What, we got Damaso up behind you?
Yeah, Damaso's right there.
Yo. I want to make sure everybody gets a little screen time real quick. Damaso, give us the skinny on you, man.
What's going on, man? Same. I do a lot of the illustration work now, animation, you know. So, So try to complement what Brandon does, you know, all the heavy line art, you know. So I'll try to do a lot of the more painterly but still digital art, you know. So yeah, that way we have a nice little dynamic going on in the art studio for sure. Yeah.
And you leverage again Photoshop frame by frame, the craziest animation style, like the old school way of doing it. None of that After Effects or any of that.
Yeah, super crazy, dude. But it's cool, man. It's nice. It's damn near, you know, therapeutic, you know. Like once you get in the zone, man, just like nothing could get you out. So yeah, for sure.
So good to see you again, man.
Yeah. Likewise, man. Likewise.
All right, homie. And I commented on that AD, the unibrow one today too. I went back to your work. Let's go LA.
Thank you. Yeah, those are fun, man. Those are always fun for sure. Those little sketches, man.
More of those, please. More of those, please. Lakers, do a Caruso one next, please.
All right, for sure. I gotta Google them first, but yeah, nah.
Just like Brandon. All right, who we got next? I think Jordan. I saw Jordan in the background.
What up? What up?
The pride of Waterloo, Iowa.
That's right. We both hold that down, huh?
Yeah, I wish we could have linked up back in the day.
I don't miss it at all, though.
No, like I was telling Dan, it's 10 degrees out here, and we get to move here in like a couple hours, so you know how it is. Good snow. Yeah, it's going to be great. Fill everyone in. You're the badge king over here.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I love badges and like old school type, really into type. Most of my shit has this like type in it, to be honest. I do a lot of monograms and stuff like that. I dabble in the illustration a little bit when I have to, just to get, you know, by basically. If there's a piece that's like, yo, we need this. I actually got the iPad Pro, so I've been trying to get a little bit better at doing some of that stuff. But mostly I just do badges and like I handle a lot of the InDesign things when projects kind of come together and we need to put the whole kit and give the whole style guide to a company. I'll take the guys' files and put that into a document and wrap it all up. And that's what we end up handing over to the client at the end of the day. And a lot of patterns. We'll have like a bunch of the dudes create art, and then I'll take their art and like just blow it out, do like 10 patterns for that style guide and stuff like that. But yeah.
And the story of how you got hired in the first place, I think is pretty inspiring, especially for those people out there, maybe doing their thing full time isn't for them. And they want to take initiative to go and get hired somewhere else. What was that process like of how you even got hired? Because I thought it was pretty dope.
Yeah, basically when I moved to Portland, I was freelancing full time, working for myself. And I was just so lonely. Like I didn't meet anybody and I'm just like bored. And I'm like, my girlfriend would come home from work and I'd just be like, yo, what's up? Let's hang out. She's like, no, I'm tired. Like I'm tired. I just worked all day and I hadn't seen a person in 3 days, you know? So it was like, shit, I got to do something in this city. So I just like started picking out my favorite agencies in the city and made a list and just started going through them. And I'm like, whoa, I actually found the Revere company, which is an old company that doesn't exist, but it was ran by Dan and Dustin and they were making patches and pins and stuff. And I just did a little sleuthing and found out who they were on the back end, and they were,
I call that stalking.
Yeah, stalking. Yeah. And then I found out that they were running Lincoln. And I'm like, shit, these guys are sick. Like I gotta weasel my way in there. So like I basically hit them up on Instagram and the timing worked out just right. And and they were willing to, you know, work with me. So that's kind of how it all came together. I just forced myself in.
And you do your own side hustle too.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Do a little freelance, do a little personal stuff. I just started a little mug company recently called Moonshine Mugs. And so I'll just, you know, when I go home, have a funny idea, it's like, boom, let's put it on a mug. You know, people love coffee these days and that shit just goes. So no brainer.
Awesome. I'll be sure to link that up as well, man. Good connecting with you again. It's been a minute. Come back to Iowa.
I'll hit you up if I ever do.
All right, man.
Peace.
Later. We got Dustin up next.
Yeah, that's the one thing with these guys too, though, that, you know, even with freelancer or whatever, none of these dudes are one trick ponies, you know, like Jordan mentioned, like he's really good at badges and type and stuff like that. But at the same time, we'll have a big style guide. Like we wrapped one up recently for Monster Trucks, you know, and it wasn't huge. It was like 16, 20 page style guide, but I leave that to Jordan to work with the InDesign file and put that whole thing together, you know? So definitely like the work we have here is there's a lot of different facets to it that these guys have to be able to jump back and forth. I mean, it's not, you know, Jordan's not doing badges all day, every day, you know,
that's the fun stuff.
It's the fun stuff. And it's the stuff that, you know, when a project does come in and it is that, of course, Jordan's going to jump on it. But at the same time, there's going to be some style guides and some books that have to get built and stuff like that. And he'll do that as well. And same with Dustin. I mean, there's, you know, he kills it with the type and the layout and stuff like that, but, he can also switch gears and build patterns and other things, you know, when we get super busy. So it's definitely every dude kind of has multi talents, you know, on top of what they're really good at. So, but yeah, it was Dustin's here. So say what up to Dustin.
How's it going? Yeah, art direct at Lincoln. Been with Dan for a while. Going on, I don't even know, 6, 7, 8 years or something. Yeah. And do whatever we got to do to get it done, you know? Logos, the fun stuff, all the way to the website to helping source the product, take out the trash. So, you know.
Yeah, multi-talented.
Yeah, whatever needs to be done, just... Yeah. I'm not going to draw like some of these guys here, but if we got to draw some shit, let's go. Same with like logos and stuff.
Content.
But just keep it moving, you know, just Swiss Army knife it. And...
Ooh, I like that. No one's a one trick pony. Everyone's a Swiss Army knife.
There you go.
I like that.
Yeah.
Talk about your side hustle too, man. How do you make time? What all do you do? I mean, I know, but not everyone knows.
Yeah, dude, I like to stay busy, you know, patches, pins, shirts. We got all that side stuff going on, tangible products. It's fun, but it's a lot of stuff to, like, the shipping is not fun. So, you know, fonts and stuff kind of came out of that. You know, you don't have to ship or inventory any of that. So, yeah, just been cranking on fonts this last, like, half a year, and it's been fun. It's been fun to see people use the fonts in their designs and just see it come to life, really. So... Yeah, check out kernclub.com.
Kern Club. Yeah, I try to plug your guys' stuff in the newsletter here and there when I get a chance to give it some extra love. But yeah, where did Kern Club come from and who's it with and what kind of fonts can people expect?
Primarily display fonts, something funky, real weird. It's not going to be this crisp-ass, clean, you know, agency Futura-looking stuff. It's going to be the more fun stuff. And me and my buddy Sam Bergini started it a couple months ago and... That's the rule, it's just fun. We don't want any boring, stiff, you know, kind of stock looking fonts. It's where it looks like, oh, that looks like, you know, such and such font. We're just trying to do some different stuff. So yeah, just mainly just have fun with it. You know, at work, there's always, with clients, there's rules and parameters and this is no rules, no parameters. Let's just break all the stuff. So
are you kind of pivoting away from like the pins, patch, merch game, the tangible goods?
Yes and no. You know, I have to rent a whole extra bedroom to inventory and warehouse all this shit. So no, I have too much product to pivot away from it, but it's not as fun. It's not as quick, you know. Grizzly Wheeler makes the patches, but
shout out to Grizzly.
Yeah. Sometimes if like, you know, the manufacturer messes up, it slows down the whole supply chain. So with the fonts, it's like, it's all on you, you know, bust it, put it out, do it, just turnkey, you know, you don't have to deal with all the steps of the sourcing and all the shit. So digital products are fun like that.
for someone who wants to get into fonts, I could ask Jordan this too. For someone who wants to get into fonts, what's the program that you use? How long does it take you to even kick out a font, and how do you release it?
We use FontSelf. Same with at the studio. It's good, cheap, easy. It's really more about the letter form, designing the dope A through Z. Making the font is easy. Anybody could just pop into Google and figure it out. Super simple. Watch a little video on YouTube. And yeah, it's more about the design and the art of it, I would say. And then kerning the thing at the end, you got to do, you know, A next to A through Z and then B next to A through Z. So it's just some time to kern the buggy out, but pretty straightforward.
How long does it take you to flip one? When you get an idea to the end product where you're making Instagram promotional features and getting it on your site?
I guess if you say like that, quite a while, because the design process is 2 to 3 days to get your A through Z, and then you probably take a week off, and then, you know, your kerning process is A through Z, or kerning it is like a couple days, and then you got to do the blog post work for it. So I don't know. A while, a good week, solid full week of after hours to crank one out.
Again, that's the shit you master on your own time and bring the efficiency into the squad.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh shit, Dan, we need to do, you know, fonts like this, or we need to pump more digital sales in this direction. So it's all just practice for game time, you know?
For sure. I guess I talk about like leveraging your day job to fuel your dream job, but at the same time, when you're fueling your dream job, you can then leverage it at your day job. So it goes back and forth.
Yeah, you know? It's definitely cohesive, just one big melting pot of stuff, basically.
Word.
Yeah.
Appreciate you popping up here, man.
Yeah.
All right. We got Davey. Davey around?
Yep. Davey's back there.
Yep. See you. Hi,
working on some badges.
What up, Cody? How are you, man?
What's up, man? Good to see you. Crushing it as always. All right. Give us the scoop on you.
So, yeah. So, basically, yeah, from simple logos to detailed illustration, you know, like, depend on the workflow, you know, depend on what we have. And I also love to do those varsity looking stuff, like all those you know, mascot, like sporty looking.
Yeah, when I think of mascots, I think of you. You know, when people think of pizza, I want them to think of me, but when I think of my mascots, I think of you right away.
I like that.
Yeah, that's a high compliment. I could be like, I think of Davey and I think of mascots, but I think it's more powerful when I think of mascots, I think of you. So
yeah,
I feel like, yeah, that's high praise, man.
I'm good. Yeah, that's great.
I feel like you have a pretty crazy story too of how you got with the squad.
Yeah, you know, I'm from France, so yeah, I'm a bit further from than everybody. Yeah, for sure. I did this big move, you know, like coming to America and
Like Dan, you offered him, hey, if you can be here by X date or something, X time, and he like just showed up on your doorstep.
Yeah, great story. Yeah, we posted. This is at the old studio in San Diego. We posted a job posting. And Davey reached out, hey, I'm interested. And I had known, you know, I had known of him, Mighty Short. I had known of his work. So when he reached out, I was like, oh shit, okay. You know, like where you at? What's the deal? He's like, oh, I'm in France. I'm like, well, you know, this is an in-house job, da da da. And he's like, oh, I'm still interested. I said, all right, cool. Well, if you can get here, you know, it was like 2 weeks out. If you can get here by whatever, January 20th, you can have the job. And then he kind of disappeared. I didn't hear from him for a while. And then come January 20th, 5 p.m. at night, it was a Friday night, we're kind of, everyone's packing up to leave. And I go to walk out and there's this dude standing in the lobby with his suitcases. And I'm like, can I help you? And he's like, I'm the Mighty Short. And I'm like, what? You're what? I'm the Mighty Short. You said if I showed up, I had the job. And I'm like, oh shit. Like, what the hell? You just got here on a plane? Yep, yep. And like, so basically it started from there. He had Airbnb all set up and he's like, can you take me to my house? And I'm like, yeah, cool. And I'm like, be here on Monday. You start. And he's like, all right, cool. So that's kind of how it all started. And that was in San Diego. And then when we moved up to Portland, he flew back out from France and yeah, he's been with us ever since. So
again, another little learning. If you want something, make that shit happen. The answer is always no. If you don't ask, closed mouths don't get fed. So
go get it. Yep. Show up on the doorstep.
Exactly. Make all it right. So they can't say no.
Yeah. What are you going to say?
and Davey, you do some side hustling too, right? You do some freelance here and there?
A bit, yeah. I'm trying to do some digital assets too, like, and some fonts too. So yeah, I have fun doing that. Yeah. It's a cool stuff, definitely, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, whenever any of you guys have some stuff you want to just get some extra eyes on, please just hit me up. More than happy to share it. Especially you. I want to see you do some fonts. That'd be sick.
Yeah. I got some already, actually. I got two on my website, actually.
Oh, perfect. I didn't know. All right. You're not doing a good enough job promoting because you're doing all this mascot shit.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Word. Well, thanks for popping in, man. Appreciate you.
Welcome. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you, too. That's the whole squad, right?
Yeah, that's squad. Yeah. Frankie's here working with us. He works at a studio in Portland. He does heavy animation work and stuff. And he actually brought his drone out and was flying the drone off the back deck out here getting some video shots. So it's cool. But he's here with us for the week working as well. So
what's up, Frankie? All right. The only one I haven't met. What's going on, man?
Yeah. Hey, how you doing?
Good, good, good. Give us the quick scoop on you, man.
Well, I interned for them like 3 years ago, I think. Yeah, while I was in school, and then originally it was for graphic design, and then just kind of moved into animation, been doing that since. And then, this is kind of my side hustle right now. Freelancing for Lincoln.
Yeah, we keep them busy on the side with animation projects from Lincoln, and yeah, Frankie kills it.
Yeah, that animation stuff, man, that makes my head hurt.
Yeah.
I'm in that 2D world.
Yeah.
I'm good at getting on a camera and stuff, but man, I don't know if I have to pay, or I'll stipple for hours, but I don't know about the animation side of things. Hey, nice to meet you, man.
Good to meet you.
I want to talk about, real quick, the Logo Mayhem book. Give us kind of like a rundown of what that is, because I recently just got one in the mail. This shit's so sick. And this is the kind of thing, I think if you're a designer without a thick skin, you get this in your possession and you're probably going to want to quit. So, kind of give the rundown of what's that for? Why did you create it for yourselves? And how are you using that as like marketing collateral to leverage, have some fun with it, but then, you're leveraging it as well. Oh yes. Great time.
There it is. Yep.
I'd like to have some kind of perspective collective logo in volume 2 someday, if that's okay.
Oh yeah. No, that'd be cool. I'd be down for that. Yeah. So I always make and make sure we have a physical portfolio book, whether it's our last one was, a larger book that had multiple projects, from logos to apparel to skateboard graphics, stuff like that. So I always want those, in our possession. So if a client hits us up, I can basically, drop a book in the mail, or if we go to a meeting, bring a book with us to leave behind. To me, kind of the print side of it's a big deal, especially nowadays. I feel like, everything's so digital and so, basically online on Instagram, nothing, you don't have this physical design or product. So I'm a print guy. So I'm always like, there needs to be a leave behind, a physical leave behind, when you meet with a client. So we're always making books, but this time we've been talking about doing a logo book. We do so many logo projects and stuff for different clients that it only made sense to kind of compile it all in a book and get that thing out there. So I put the book together. We had the deadline of DesignerCon to get it done for, and had them printed and then brought them to DesignerCon and sold a bunch, a lot more than I thought at DesignerCon. And then, put it up on the website for Black Friday and sold a shit ton of them, more than I was expecting as well. So it's been going good. I mean, to me, I kind of knew it would, just because I feel like if you're a graphic designer, the one book you're always going to have, or multiple books, is going to be logo books, I mean, I collect logo books, and if I'm going to buy a book, it's going to be a logo book. So I figured that, people would be a little bit hyped on it and buy it. So yeah, it's been going good.
It's like a weird dynamic you have. A lot of agencies out there, I'm not going to go and like buy pentagram swag, like I'm not going to most likely buy a book for them. Why do you think what you guys do is different? I think going to the conferences makes a huge fucking difference of tapping into like people get to see the humans behind it, connect to your work a lot more. But like, I'm not one to buy a logo tee yet. I'm rocking like a graphic logo tee as we talk. Like I'm swagged up in Lincoln. Why do you think that is? Why do you think people like me or the listeners, why are we more attracted to your shit?
Oh man. I don't know. I'd like to think cause it's done well and the design is there, and if the design is done well, people are going to gravitate towards it and buy it. But yeah, it is something that, there isn't a lot of studios that do what we do and then make their own merch like we do, so there isn't a lot of that out there. at the same time, I don't think it will work for everybody as well. You know, it works for us. And I think some of that comes from just a lot of our backgrounds come from the skate and apparel industry and working with brands, you know, in those spaces. So we know what sells for those people, you know, how that stuff is produced and sold. So it kind of makes sense for us to do it. Like if you're a studio that specializes in packaging and you think you're going to make a bunch of t-shirts and sell them on your website, I doubt that's going to work. You know, we just have a background in, you know, apparel design and skateboard graphics and stuff like that. So, you know, we had, you know, Dustin and I were doing the Revere thing, making the patches. So that just kind of snowballed into making the Lincoln patches, and then people were down to buy those. So we make more patches, and, you know, it's just, we're going to continue to make product as long as people buy it, you know? So, and it's fun. It's fun stuff.
I guess translating that to people who aren't you guys, but all the shit you learn at a different job or the skill set you learn here, something you learn here, how it all kind of translate when you connect the dots to where you are right now, doing all the same stuff.
It does. Yeah, it definitely does. You know, Dustin and Damaso came from a giant screen printing company that was doing like, they were doing graphics and tees for like, I mean, Marvel and stuff like that for like Walmart, where they're making, you know, whatever, 500,000 of one design. So they came from that apparel grip background. I came from kind of the skateboard shoe industry. And so we know that stuff, you know, like I said, we know what sells. It's, and that's where, you know, I feel like even some kids coming out of school and stuff, and they're, if you're coming out of school and you're kind of like, oh, I'm going to go straight from school to doing freelance, you know, and I should, you know, my work's good, I should be able to get a bunch of clients, da, da, da. I wouldn't suggest it, you know. To me, you need to get a job in the industry, make some contacts, you know, get some experience, and then maybe see if you want to do the freelance deal, you know, because just to jump off straight out of school and think you're going to make a killing in the freelance industry is tough. I mean, I know so many guys that are super good, super talented, that have full-time jobs and they do freelance on the side, but you're kind of like, damn, that guy can't even keep enough projects going to do it on his own, you know? So that's just where, you know, I feel like kids out of school and stuff like that, you got to make sure that you have that background to fall back on, or that knowledge to you know, make it in the design industry. Like, we all came from something else or had some experience, you know, before we got into this. So,
damn. Okay. You pretty much just answered the, what's one piece of advice you give yourself when you're just starting off, or someone else who's like ambitious like that? Cause so many other people are like, I'm going to go to school real quick and I'm going to start a t-shirt company. Okay, that was me for a second, but I got a day job at the same time. And I learned so much from that. Like, I'm doing what I'm doing now because of those side hustle pursuits. But I like that, like, relationships are everything. Go get experience. Go be a student of soaking up someone else's knowledge first at an agency or whatever. So, I mean, or be like Jordan and go hunt down you guys or show up on your front doorstep. Maybe not you guys because you're not looking at the moment. But before we go into rapid fire real quick, since this show is perspective podcast, it's all about perspective and creative fuel for your mind and grind. I like to ask people this: what are your internal and external forces that fuel your grind? Why do you show up each day? What gets you pumped to like get out of the bed and get to the office early to get through a whole day of doing work? You know, like why do you do what you do?
I mean, I think I do it, and I think a lot of these guys do as well, is kind of for the variety of it. You know, like we have a lot of different projects and clients, and every day is a different project and design. And we're not working on, you know, basically just a shoe catalog for a month straight or something like that. Every day is different, and every day we kind of don't know what you're going to get or get into or what that new project is going to be. So I kind of get out of bed every morning going, okay, you know, who knows what today has to offer, or what might be the new project, or how this project we're working on is going to turn out. So yeah, I think for me, it's just the excitement of the different projects and day-to-day changes.
Does it even feel like work at all?
No,
doesn't feel like work at all. Like, you guys are on a fucking retreat right now with your swag all up in this Airbnb, I'm assuming, draped up everywhere.
Yeah, it's an Airbnb. I wish I could turn the thing, but
yeah, I see the draw shit. I see the banners in the background. Like, that's so dope, man. Like, that's like a day job that's hard to leave.
Yeah. We brought all the, basically everyone grabbed their computer, brought all the computers out, a bunch of pop-up tables and basically set up kind of an office inside the kitchen of this Airbnb that's on the cliff looking at a lighthouse out here. So yeah, it's cool. And we do it once a year, you know, and it's fun. Everyone gets together. Like I said, we got a lot of work this time. So we spent a day and a half now kind of just working the whole time, but we'll try and get out and spend like tomorrow or later this evening going, doing a little hike or checking out the lighthouse or, you know, Newport, some of the bars. So yeah, you got to keep it interesting, you know, and that's the thing too. Like, I feel like, you know, we have a studio and stuff and, you know, we're working in the studio day in and day out, but it's always good to get out, get a new, you know, work in a new environment. I mean, it's definitely a job that you can do on the road to a certain point, you know. You can definitely take, especially if you're working on a laptop, you know, take that laptop with you, go work somewhere at a picnic table in a campground that has Wi-Fi or, you know, or whatever, do a hotspot on your phone and work, you know, at the picnic table all day. Like, you'll get a different perspective on that project or just, you know, your career and stuff if you get out of the office and work somewhere else. I mean, I know Damaso does a lot of, you know, he'll go to coffee shops and where else do you go, Damaso?
Yeah, I'll go to public libraries, coffee shops, whatever, you know.
Just to get out of his studio, you know, his home studio.
That's a tip for me because I'm like, I mean, now that this episode is out, I got laid off out of nowhere from my job at the beginning of November. And so like, yeah, it took me a couple weeks to figure out what the hell I was going to do as I'm building this portfolio. And now I've literally every day I'm in my office while I'm trying to pack on the side, like 10 to 12 hours, just grinded, building portfolio, building content, podcasts. And I'm missing that human connection right now. So I never even thought about going to a coffee shop just to like sketch all day. If I have like a project like that, like that's I don't know why that doesn't even dawn on me, but that makes total sense.
Yeah, you should do it. Try it out. Yeah.
Go to the local pizza shop. Just hang out the whole time. But blessing in disguise, now I get more time to have connections and conversations with people like you guys without being like, oh shit, I'm about to reach my hour. Because I did all my stuff over lunch break so it didn't interfere with family time. And I'd be like, oh fuck, now I'm late 10 minutes back to work and this and that. So yeah, now I'm not in a rush for things. But let's go to rapid fire so I can respect your time because you guys got deadlines. But I asked you this before. But if you were on death row, what would your last slice of pizza be?
Oh, it'd be a meat lover's. Anything meat, pile on the meat.
Word. All right. Damn, I wanted to ask each one of you guys this one, but if you were reincarnated, I've never asked this one before, and design was not an option, what would your career path be outside of it? Like, what would you be doing, you think, outside of the design world?
I'd be a professional skateboarder or snowboarder. Something in that industry.
And I was going to think like you being like the WWE or something.
No, no, no way. No, I'd skate or snowboard for sure.
All right. If you could have lunch with one person dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Oh, geez. Man, that's tough. I mean, right now I'd probably sit down with Elon Musk. I think he's interesting as shit and weird to talk to from what I've seen, you know? So I think that'd be an interesting conversation.
I feel like you guys could do a dope ass, like a car rat for that new crazy cyborg whip that he put out recently. Like
for sure.
Brand one of his flamethrowers. All right. I want to hear everyone's thoughts on this one. Do you believe in aliens or life existing outside of our solar system?
I do. I do personally. Yeah. I think they got some shit in some kind of bunker somewhere. Yeah, at some point they either is still alive or the thing's dead or whatever, but they've seen some shit and they've done a great job of keeping people's mouths shut.
Is everybody in agreement? Is there any objections to this?
Yeah, I gotta see it to believe it, man.
See it to believe it? He's a doubter.
That's a stretch, yeah.
You're right. I wanna be like alive when that shit happens and I also be terrified at the same time, man. What's the dream project you guys haven't had a chance to do yet?
Shit, anybody?
Coors Light.
Coors Light packaging.
You look like a banquet beer kind of guy, Dustin.
New can design for Coors Light.
I do like that super minimalistic, clean, just red flat logo that they have going on right now.
Yeah, they've been ripping through the Coors Light here nightly, 30 packs a night going down. So
it reminds me of college.
Hey, right? Yeah.
What about you? Any project that you're like, damn, you know, I haven't got a chance to do this. Like, skinning a plane or something like that.
That's not a bad one. That'd be pretty sick. Oh man, I can't even think of,
challenging you to dream right now. When's the last time you got to do that, Dan?
Yeah. The what?
The Rock, something from The Rock.
Dustin says The Rock. I'm a fan of Dwayne Johnson, you know? So yeah. Yeah. We were supposed to start a new style guide for The Rock through WWE, and that has yet to happen, but I was pretty pumped on that. I'm like, hell yeah, let's do that. That would be a good one. I'd be down to do whatever for The Rock.
All right. Last one. Where can people go to follow you online and support you guys?
You can go to LincolnDesignCo.com or LincolnBrandCo.com. And then on Instagram, LincolnDesignCo. Follow us there. Instagram's kept up pretty regularly with new work and kind of what we're doing. You know, right now we're at the retreat, so I'm posting on there photos and graphics every day from the retreat, so check that out. And then we post our work on there as well. I'm gonna make a push to update the website pretty heavy in January, February of next year. We haven't updated it much. We always update it with product in the blog. We keep that pretty up to date, and then we'll put new animation work up there. But as far as like the portfolio section and stuff like that, that hasn't been touched in a while. So that'll be coming soon, hopefully right after the new year. So check that out.
Also, I've been meaning to ask here, this is a last question, 1B or whatever, Z, whatever it is. What's your Instagram strategy? You guys kind of do that triptych, you know, do you really put much thought into it, or you put being really intentional, hashtags, everything, timing, analytics, like what's kind of your strategy?
You know, I do most of the Instagram posts. And honestly, I mean, that shit takes a long time, all that, you know, the whole, like you said, the whole strategy and thought behind it, and hey, what's next? And oh, you know, we just posted a bunch of logos recently. Maybe we should do something else.
Do you have like a burner account or an app that you like plan your feed out, or you just have like, this is what I'm going to post here. And then you guys get done with some work. Actually, I'm going to post a triptych of this, you know, like do you plan it ahead? Just roll up.
No, I mean, I plan that. I try and do something like Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I definitely can't do something every single day. Like, I just don't have time for that.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think we need to at the same time. But it's basically just on my plate as something I need to do, you know, on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So yeah, there isn't any like real schedule or, hey, it has to be this or that. It's kind of just done on a whim, but we do a lot, you know, we'll do three at a time, you know, triptych posts for most stuff.
Where did that concept come from? And how have you noticed the big difference when you started doing that from what you posted before?
It makes it harder to come up with a new post. It makes it a pain in the ass, you know?
God, I thought about trying that, but now you just kind of convinced me to get off the edge of that. So
yeah, you kind of create this work for yourself, you know, that instead of doing one post, now you got to do three, type of thing.
Nine in a sense, in a week.
Yeah, exactly. So, but so much of our work that we do, like there's multiple sides to the project or a lot of work that comes out of it, you know? So I just found it hard to just do one post of like, oh, you know, we did this style guide and we did all these badges and patterns and illustrations. Let me do one single post that encompasses that, you know, even though you have sliders. So it works out better for us just because a lot of our stuff has a lot of content to it, you know? So I can come up with those posts pretty easily.
Word. About time we made this happen. I'm hoping that we don't wait another 2 years to get round three. Hopefully round three is in person next time.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
Maybe at the retreat, now that I got like a whole digital recording in person setup now.
There you go. Fly you out to the next one, and we'll sit down. Next one will probably be up in the woods in the mountains somewhere. So
let's fucking go hunt some UFOs.
There you go.
Hey, nothing but Coors Light and UFOs and pizza. That'd be dope.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys. Keep in touch. Anything I can do to help you out, let me know.
Cool. Right on, Scotty. Thanks, man.
All right, brother. See you guys. PC Family, Lincoln, freaking Design Co. Not only do these guys kick out incredible work, but they're hella generous with their time, knowledge, and I know they'd love to hear from you and connect with you via social media or at a conference near you. So, do what you do best. If you found value in what they had to say today, go blow them up on Instagram right now by sharing your biggest takeaway or sharing your notes that you took today with them. Dan and the rest of the Goon Squad, I sincerely appreciate you taking time out of your insane schedule and retreat to chat with us today. I'm looking forward to a round three in person this time in the near future. Again, if you think someone else needs to hear this message, please share it with your friends, your family, or your following. It makes a way bigger impact than you could ever think. And if the show has helped you along your creative grind, there are two ways you can support what we're building here. First off is by financially backing the show at patreon.com/perspectivepodcast, like my family at Iron Bean Coffee Company does. The other way to support the show is by subscribe and leaving a rating and review over on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Not only does it help the show climb the charts in the arts design category, but it locks you in as a future listener of the week, like this week's listener of the week titled Humility and Willingness Goes a Long Way. And this one's from Isaac Holtorf from the US. And he states, I'm only a few episodes in on Spotify. Shout out to Spotify. Starting from the very beginning, and he continues to say that he wants his podcast to blow up, not for himself, but for something bigger, and to help fellow creatives in the struggle they may face. How refreshing to know someone has positive intentions to simply help people and educate them further. Thank you, Scotty. As a college student, right on, getting ready to plunge into the real world of design, I'm beyond thankful for this podcast. Hell yeah, that's so dope hearing that high schoolers and college people are starting to tap into the show too, and it truly is for a greater purpose. It really is. It's a show created for my lost soul about 5-6 years ago when I didn't know what the hell was going on and I didn't have anyone to turn to, so that's what the show is about. And as I wrap things up, I got to give a huge shout out to my podcast editor, Anya Brennan, my executive assistant, Paige Garland, and my video specialist, Colton Bacher. You three are the glue that holds this show together. And big shout out to Nick Jenkins of Bluka for all the dope theme music you hear on the show. You can listen, support him, or on Spotify, SoundCloud, as well as Instagram. And as you finish off your week strong, I want to encourage you to keep showing up, keep putting in the work, and keep creating. You got this.